Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show where we talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical and interesting way. Without a lot of geek speak or a bunch of acronyms, we just want to talk about tech that's important to us and important to you.
Before we dive in, we want to thank Cardinal Capital. To business owners and CEOs, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. Even if you do, sometimes, though, you face other challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, a want to level out your cash flow, or a desire to buy new equipment because you're in growth mode. If this describes you, give Cardinal Capital a call, whatever your need or challenge. They have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want you to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business, so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they'll help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation, all while being fun and easy to deal with. For more information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net, call 225-308-3700, or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, Mr. Davis, let's have ourselves some tech gumbo. Starting off with the follow-up, Instagram has decided to pause the work on the standalone app for kids.
Yeah, we talked about this one back over the summer whenever the idea was first being announced. And we were very strongly opposed to it then. And then we were not the only people. Pretty much anybody who gave feedback on it was very strongly opposed to the idea.
Most everybody who doesn't work for Instagram thought it was a really bad idea. It was the National Association of Attorneys General, where 44 of the 50 attorneys general all came out and said, this is a bad idea. You have that many people. You can't get 44 attorneys general to agree on the time of day if they're all standing in the same room. And you got that many to say this is a bad idea. It's a bad idea.
And this especially looks even worse in light of the stories we talked about the past 2 weeks about the Instagram knowing that it's bad for teen girls and the research that's come out of that from the Wall Street Journal. More continues to come out about that, and it continues to be very bad. So the fact that Instagram is pausing work on this kids app, hopefully they just stop it entirely.
Yeah, I don't see this ever really going anywhere. There's enough people screaming at Instagram already. There's enough people not using Instagram anymore to go into this kind of, I don't know, cesspool. Is just not a good place where they want to be. This is nothing but negative publicity.
Oh, and the potential for something to go horribly wrong is just through the roof. The number of ways that you could just see something bad happening, it's too many, it's just not worth it. Please, Instagram, please stop.
Yes, just let this poor thing die. It's over with. It was a bad idea. And we all know where bad ideas need to go. It's called File 13. Put it away.
I agree.
The next story we wanted to talk about was the ongoing problem with the lack of microchips and semiconductors and the whole supply chain that has just got the world shut down.
The U.S. Commerce Department is trying to step in here. Back in May, they said that the shortage would ease up by quarter three 2021. Given that we are right there at the end of quarter three 2021 and still in the thick of this shortage, they swung and missed there. Hopefully that they're going to take some additional measures, identify some more possible outcomes. We'll see.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo and the rest of the White House, they're calling for transparency. They're wanting all these chip makers to divulge who their customers are, how much they're buying, what their orders, you know, turn over all of your really sensitive data about your customers to us, the government. Trust us, we won't share that with anybody else.
Because they are going to share it with everybody. They're going to say, hey, look, you know, these are the targets, these are the speeds, these are all the things. And so they're getting a pretty chilly response here.
You can just see all these chip manufacturers saying, we'll go right after them. We'll be third in line. Let the other guy go first and let that gal go second and we'll be third. And after they tell everything, then we'll know. And every one of them is saying that exact same story.
Oh, yeah. The Commerce Department is saying, hey, you know, but all this data would be really useful. We could step in and do something if you would just all tell us about your internal workings. We could actually get there and help you. But I think that the businesses are just saying we'll sit here and write it out. You know, if it takes another 2 years for this to unclog, that's fine. It's not worth us. It's not worth anything to us to you know, hand all this over. We'll see you in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, what's the incentive to open up our internal books and say, here you go, world. Here's our customer list. Anybody want to take a shot at trying to get, you know? No business on earth is going to do that.
It sounds good. They have to say that they're doing something. They have to say they're trying something. But if anybody actually came out and started revealing this data, I would be shocked.
If anybody actually came out, there would be people who would be shot, not just shocked. I mean, yeah. Here's the door, you know, we'll mail you whatever, you know, we don't shred from your desk. The armed security people wouldn't even, they wouldn't break stride until they got you out the door.
It's looks good on paper and nowhere else.
And the next story we wanted to talk about, a teenager on TikTok has disrupted thousands of scientific studies with one little TikTok video.
So this TikToker, Sarah Frank, she's a recent high school graduate. And her whole theme of her videos is trying to point out side hustles. She found this website, prolific.co, where you could go take surveys for money. And she talked about it in one of her videos. That video got 4 million views in the next month. And all of a sudden, Prolific exploded with people taking their surveys. But there was a problem.
Yes. These surveys all of a sudden became homogeneous. When these scientific studies want men, women, you know, 15 to 20 year old, 25 to 35, all the way, you know, all the whole age range, and all they were getting was 18 to 21 year old women, because that's who follows this young TikToker. And so these studies started getting blown up. They normally were expecting maybe 100 responses, and all of a sudden now they're getting thousands of responses. All from 18 to 21 year old women.
Yeah, they had to do a pretty good amount of statistical magic on the back end to smooth all of it out for the first 2 or 3 weeks, because their numbers, they were at 85% of their participants were women, and they had been sitting very close to 50. And so the good news for them is that, you know, They peaked in early August, and now as we get into the end of September, early October here, they're trending back much closer towards a 50-50 split. But yeah, they were going through some stuff for that first couple of weeks of August and September.
To give you some perspective, this Prolific, they went from a normal level of maybe about 40,000 people responding to all of the different scientific polls that they have, to they were over 80,000. And when you double in size in a month and all these people are expecting now, hey, I filled out the survey, I want to get paid. You know, Prolific did say, yes, we're going to pay everybody who did fill out a survey. We're going to honor that. And oh, by the way, now that we have all of your information, we're going to invite you to other studies that we think would be beneficial to those who are, you know, doing these studies. And so, yeah, Prolific is going to come out of it okay, because they got a much larger base to pull from. But one little one little 18-year-old girl puts out a video and 4.1 million people see it, and that's the impact that these social media personalities can have.
Yeah, you see this a lot on Reddit, wherever someone will be a content creator, a small-time person, and they'll post something cool, maybe a website that they did or a video they made, and everyone will be like, oh, this is amazing, and you'll have just people rushing to go see it, and then they'll crash the website because the website wasn't designed to have that many people on it at once. And so this is just, it's a problem that doesn't exist in the real world. It's much harder to fit, you know, 10,000 people through a door in the real world. You just get a long line. But when you have a computer, the computer's not going to do that. It just, you know, reboots, it crashes, it does whatever. And so that's the one funny thing happening here in social media, is that you just get these imbalances sometimes.
And, you know, and to Ms. Frank's credit, she said, it did not occur to me that the video would blow up or it would. I was just doing it for my friends, and I had no idea that it was going to be this big a deal. Well, it was.
And that's one of the hard parts about virality in social media, is that very rarely do you know ahead of time what is the thing that's just going to make its way into the mainstream and go as large as it did. She might not have ever had a video get above 10,000 views before, but then once you hit that certain tipping point, you go to 4 million views. And so that's a huge difference. And it's really hard to plan for that and to think about what the consequences of that. And so, you know, I don't blame her for not, you know, having forethought through all of the possible outcomes here, because this was just one of those one in a million things that happen sometimes.
Good for Ms. Frank that she's now paused all of the side hustle TikTok videos she was doing. She's focusing on her freshman year in college.
So, moving on. Another story that we've been following up on for a while. Apple, with the iOS, has been in the lawsuit disagreement with Epic Games, the makers of Fortnite. When we last checked in, Epic had just won their court case saying that they should be allowed to have their third-party platform, that they didn't need the App Store. And we said, okay, this is a great win for Epic. You know, they don't have to pay Apple that 30%. They can keep all the revenue to themselves. Well, Apple said, all right, fine. If you don't have to use our App Store, we're kicking off the platform entirely. You know, you are no longer allowed to post your apps here.
Yeah, the judges in this U.S. District Court in Northern California, they actually came out and said, because Apple was not a monopoly, that Epic could do all of its microtransactions through its own system and didn't have to go through the Apple App Store to do that. And that was great. Okay, so Apple kind of won a little bit. Epic kind of won. But then when Apple picked up its ball and said, I'm going home, I'm not going to play, when they kicked Epic off of the platform, now the big monopoly is swinging its big old stick again.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing for Apple to do here, is because, yeah, as you mentioned, they had just gotten the legal judgment that they were not a monopoly. And so in the next couple of years, whenever you start to have more pressure to go after these big tech monopolies, Apple could hang this verdict up and say, look, not us. You can't come after us. We were officially declared by a court of law not a monopoly. They could have rode that for a long time, but then they immediately do the monopolistic thing. So this is a weird decision here. And you have to think that there's a couple other people who are now looking around saying, oh, maybe we are going after Apple again all of a sudden, because the target is back on their back. You know, by kicking someone off your platform who tried to do anything other than exactly how you prescribed, boy, this is a inviting challenges. They're just asking for someone to go directly after them for the monopoly.
Epic CEO Tim Sweeney came out and said, quote, Apple lied. Apple spent a year telling the world, the court, and the press they'd welcome Epic's return to the App Store if they agree to play by the same rules as everyone else. Epic agreed. And now Apple has reneged in another abuse of its monopoly power over a billion users.
Yeah, you have to think that this is going to reverberate for a while and that there will be consequences, because this is not the first time that Apple has been in the discussion of a monopoly. We talked about it back in summer 2020, whenever the U.S. legislators were investigating the big tech companies for their monopolistic behaviors. Apple was part of that list for their iOS and for the App Store. This is coming back, you know. It's not quite sure exactly what flavor it's going to take, but look for some other company to come after Apple for this.
This just looks like a dumb move. I mean, you had a chance to take the high road. Okay, so Fortnite's going to, you know, they're going to go make their own money. We're not going to get as much money, but we're still going to have, for Apple just to say, nope, go away. You're not on our iOS platform at all anymore, is just not, in my opinion, my very humble opinion, a bad play.
Because you have to think about, like, did this make business sense for them? Because how much money did Apple really think that they were going to lose by allowing the microtransactions on Epic's platform instead of their own? You know, how many other apps were they really worried would build their own microtransactions on third parties? How much revenue did Apple really worry they were going to lose here? You have to think that it something's not adding up on the surface. They must have been very concerned about something somewhere else, because this just doesn't make sense on its surface.
No, it doesn't. But we will continue to keep an eye on this, and as it continues to play out, you can rest assured that Tech Gumbo is going to report back as to what's going on. The last story we wanted to talk about, YouTube is banning prominent anti-vaccine activists and blocking all anti-vaccine content.
Yeah, they are a bit behind Facebook and Twitter here. But the question is, are they too far behind Facebook and Twitter here? The experts from the University of Berkeley said, you had 18 months to think about these issues. We knew the vaccine was coming. Why was this not the policy from the very beginning? You created the breeding ground, and when you deplatform it, it doesn't go away anymore. It just migrates. And he's got a great point here.
Absolutely. I mean, the horse, they're trying to put the horse back in the barn, but the horse is out of the barn. The barn is burned to the ground, and there's no more ashes because the grass has grown over the ashes, and the horse is just running out in the field, and you're trying to put the horse back in a barn that doesn't exist anymore. It's too late. All of this negative anti-vaccine stuff should have been squashed in April of 2020.
Yeah, you really have to wonder, had all of the social media platforms done a better job about combating misinformation and disinformation, how many more people would still be alive? How many more people would have the vaccine right now? How much of a calmer world would we live in? But unfortunately, we don't live in that world. We live in this one. And another knock-on effect from all of this is that because the conspiracy theories were allowed to stew for so long, they started merging with other conspiracy theories. That someone was like, hey, you know, you don't trust this whole vaccine thing. Here's something else you can distrust. Here, let me, you know, rope you into this other theory that I have. And you just start to get these big tent conspiracy theories that they're migrating, they're merging, and we're getting super conspiracy theories, and it's terrible.
YouTube actually removed 133,000 videos for broadcasting coronavirus misinformation. But I promise you, by taking down 133,000, there's another 133,000 that have been recreated, reposted, and these folks are out there, you know, trying to throw it off, give it different names, and trying to get around the ban on these things. And it's really sad that people are trying to put out such horrible misinformation, but it's really disappointing that YouTube took so long to finally do it.
Hopefully they do a better job in the future with things like this, but given the lack of self-reflection from the platform about its ills in general, I'm not optimistic.
Nor am I. So we do want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support to our clients' growth. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show, or you want to go back and hear previous episodes, check us out as a podcast, available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, Audible, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show, you have any suggestions, or you have a question, let us know via text at 225-255-0431. If we use your question, you will get a Tech Gumbo mug. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.